Hey everyone, in this episode we discuss in depth the current state of affairs with the Azuki situation. Some new details are unearthed and we discuss what it might mean for the project. We also talk about the current state of the NFT and crypto markets, what happened last night with UST, the current situation there. As always, this show is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up with the code THENIFTY on your mobile app or at thenifty.com/FTX. Thanks so much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's Tuesday. We're coming off of an evening that had a lot of eventful action in our crypto world, in our NFT world. This is the NFT Morning Show. This show happens Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern. I'm P.O. I'm here with my co-hosts, Nifty Nick and Signal. Nifty Nick, what's going on?
Man, well, my ApeCoin is back up, so I'm really excited about that. It seems like we have a little bit of a relief bounce here with UST, not yet worth the dollar that it's supposed to be worth. I would say close enough, but with the stablecoin, there's only one correct price. That said, it's back to about 90 cents, which is off of the price last night when we were saying this could be a good quick scalp for 30%. And that's essentially what panned out here. Other than that, you know, not a whole lot, P.O. I went to bed after our space, and then I woke up, and here I am.
Okay, well, hey, that's an eventful 12-hour period in my book. I'm also, you know, speculating on whether something that's only supposed to cost $1 will ever cost a dollar again. So it's going to be very interesting to watch that play out. I hope that UST can figure out how to be worth a dollar yet again. The big story of last night was the Azuki fiasco. I mean, well, the UST fiasco was also a very big story, but the biggest NFT-related story was definitely the Azuki fiasco. We will dive into that. We have Node on stage, who is an Azuki holder, one of the biggest holders.
And in on the fraud, I should add, like part of the scam that's going on right now. So I'm really excited to sort of hold him accountable.
Yeah, the story is like he's deeply intertwined in the story. His name's basically just all over it. His fingerprints all over it. We'll talk about that. We'll incriminate him. But I know Signal, who hasn't been on the stage this week because there's construction going on in her building. What's going on with that, Signal? Can we get like your management company on the line, your landlord? I've got some words for them.
I know. I've complained, but I found a solution. So, folks, we are quiet. But I have to say, this morning when I woke up and I saw the news, I felt like it was Game of Thrones Red Wedding. And whoever has seen that here, you know that's an iconic episode. And there's a bit during that episode when Catelyn Stark looks around the room, the doors close, this creepy music starts, and then all of a sudden your favorite characters are absolutely slaughtered by the trusted leader, and there was no hint this was coming. And I felt like that's what happened to Azuki and a little bit of terror last night. If you know about Game of Thrones, you'll know the reference. But it was flash lightning overnight, had volume kicked up from a sober 50 million to a lively 80 million. On the blue chips, apes are at 90, mutants are at 19, and other deed is at 3. However, CloneX, they had a sharp reversal down to 13. Azuki prices plummeted to as low as 10 ETH and beans as low as 1 ETH after the founder released his post and said that he had done 3 other projects. Doodles and Moonbirds, they benefited from the Azuki FUD. In fact, liquidity rotated into Doodles. That ticked up to 17 ETH and Moonbirds were holding 20. And another winner last night was Pixen. They saw high volume. Their community believed that perhaps they could be the next Azuki. That floor is at 3.7 ETH. And something that went under the radar, but Madonna and Beeple have announced a 3-video NFT collab featuring a naked CGI Madonna giving birth. It's called Mother of Creation, and it's going to be auctioned on Wednesday on Super Rare. Onto the markets. Well, crypto markets took a beating. 900 million was liquidated in the last 24 hours. BTC and ETH are holding their new lows. And onto the OpenSea stats, we had that nice uptick, but that was mainly driven by Azuki. What it shows is that NFTs are not dead. In fact, there's a lot of liquidity on the site waiting for prime opportunities at the right price. And in fact, this morning's news, it really reminds me of a great quote by Warren Buffett on markets and investments, where he says, "It's only when the tide goes out do you discover who's been swimming naked." The 24-hour forecast is the storm is not over. Back to you, folks.
Well, you know, there's a couple things, Signal. It was a wonderful weather report. But first of all, you got to hit the audience with a spoiler alert if you're going to talk about some Game of Thrones Red Wedding action and basically spoil it for everybody.
Yeah, because that's a brand new show
there. Dude, it's like 4 years old now. Whoever's not watched it, I mean, come on.
Hey, look, we're probably going to get canceled over the lack of spoiler alerts there, too. And then the other thing is the visuals you give us a little Warren Buffett skinny dipping visual. I don't know who came here for that Signal, but I can tell that you haven't been on stage for a week. You're a little off your game. No, I'm just kidding. That was a wonderful weather report, as usual, Signal. Captain Kicks, was there anything you wanted to add to Signal's wonderful weather report?
Yeah, I just like that you think that quote was about Warren Buffett swimming in a lake. I think that's really cute, Pio. No, I think the weather report was absolutely fantastic. We're getting a much needed relief bounce here, both on the crypto and on the NFT side. So I think, you know, it's still shaky out there. The future's uncertain, but this is exactly what you'd want to see after a big pullback like that. And I have to think that there was a lot more pressure than probably was supposed to happen with the Luna UST depegging thing. It seemed like there was some probably like bad market manipulators that were like intentionally trying to crash that entire ecosystem and had a lot of short money on it. So I think that put like more downward pressure yesterday than otherwise would have happened, and that kind of caused the panic. But it seems like things are stabilizing out in the equity market is stabilizing a little bit as well. It doesn't mean we can't go down further from here, but at least like we're out of that tornado storm.
There were some great snipe opportunities last night. I failed to pull the trigger, but oh man, did I see some deals sitting there on a number of projects, both on the art side and on the collectible side. It was a great time to be buying last night, at least temporarily. And with NFTs, if you were buying into what's inevitably this relief rally at a minimum, we don't know where it goes from here, but the anticipation of a relief rally, you could be up, you know, 30, 40, 50% right off that bounce right away, which is a very solid place to be.
Well, our very own Easy Eats Bodega, we got to watch him open short positions. He made some money. He ended up getting liquidated. It was up and down. He was all in on the Luna and UST action last night, basically, giving us some live technical reporting during the whole fiasco. He also tried to get in because I believe Beans bottomed out towards one ETH. Signal, you pointed out, like, was it one ETH?
Well, not one, but they went, I saw offers going for 1.2. So yeah, if you were on it, you could have easily snagged close to floor.
What I love about that whole story is that when it just shows that when it comes to money, people's morals are like butter. You can just spread them and mold them and just shape them into whatever you want. Because people that otherwise probably would have talked a lot of shit about a project owner being like a, for lack of a better word, a serial rugger. They would have probably had some really negative things to say, but anyone that had three or four Azukis in their wallet, just like, were like, what? I didn't hear anything. No, I think it's fine. I think he just like had some health problems and had to leave all three of those projects or something. It's all good. I mean, I'm sure he wasn't trying to rug anyone. It was just like his warm-up projects. Like you can't blame a kid for quitting three T-ball teams and then going to the pros. So I don't know why I should get any blame. So nothing to see here. Let's just pretend like Azuki's fine.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people get influenced when they actually own the assets that are called into question. Speaking of that, we've got a proper Azuki whale on stage. The profile picture that Node is rocking right now is one of the top 10 rarest Azukis. So he's watched his net worth crumble because that Azuki was worth probably 3, 4, 5 million a mere hours ago and is now worth like $80. Node, how are you feeling this morning with your Azuki bag?
This is the end. Beautiful friend.
I'm just over here listening to the Doors, trying to get out of bed, lamenting the losses. Last night was pretty brutal. I must say, you know, we are all biased. But I will say this, you know, Captain Kicks can say whatever he wants because he's actually building something. But people, you know, people in the space love to dunk on people. We're definitely in PvP season, right? But I think it's interesting. So in defense of all the Azuki holders out there, this is kind of my take, which is, you know, a lot of those projects in the past, like, they were all, I don't know what people were expecting out of those projects. And to me, it seemed like they were he was building stuff.
I think they were expecting him not to disappear with all of the money and just disappear. That's probably it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, you'll have to fill me in more on how exactly all of that, you know, all that came to pass. But it's, I mean, from what I understand, at least giving him the benefit of the doubt is, hey, there were no promises that were broken. Right. Like, I mean, I haven't heard a single thing about any of those projects. And obviously, look, I didn't own any of them. Right. But it's interesting how all of a sudden, all these projects are rugs, like, out of nowhere, where I don't think I remember hearing any of the drama throughout all of the last year from any of those projects being rugs.
You're right about two out of three, but I definitely knew, like, the running story for Funks was that there was a group of original owners that created it, and then they literally just disappeared on the project, and then the community had to, like, resurrect it. And that's like what Funks is today. So I do know that one, but you are right on the Tendies and the Zug one or whatever like that. I hadn't even heard of those projects, much less like knew if they like were a rug or not. Once again, this guy like didn't, it's not like rug probably isn't the best word. It's launching and like abandoning multiple projects. That's probably the more proper term. Is launching and abandoning, not rugging. Because rugging would be like not delivering on a promise, like you said. So that's a little bit extreme. But I mean, yeah, I don't think it's, I'm kind of trolling. I don't think it's literally a terrible thing. It's not like this person like hacked people and stole money or did absolutely terrible things. Launched a couple projects, abandoned them after they didn't work out too well, and then hit a home run. I mean, I don't think this person should be like hung at the cross or anything like that. I do think it's really interesting that they had to come out with the information. I'm assuming that they were probably getting blackmailed, would be my guess, and so kind of had to like front run the information. So they probably didn't have as much time as they would have liked to kind of like properly digest it. But I mean, I think the market's showing that like this isn't going to take Azuki to zero, so I wouldn't be that worried to patch. It's still a great project. I think that maybe this person could do a little bit more on the PR front, right? To probably like make things whole maybe on those old projects. But yeah, this isn't a hang them on the cross kind of thing for me. But I do think it was funny though that I was like, listen, like some of my buddies who are Azuki holders, you know, they were like, I don't think this is that bad. Ready? You know what I mean? Like, what if they were like on the other side of it, they would have been like, screw this guy, let's take him down.
It is interesting. And I think you give a completely fair take, Kix. Like that's totally fair. And again, it's like, you know, if you've ever worked in a restaurant as a busser, like all of a sudden you're much more, you know, forgiving on things that go wrong at a restaurant or things like that. And so having built some things myself, like I'm a little more lenient. And you got to remember, a year ago in the NFT space, people were launching stuff and it was a complete experiment, right? Like there were no like big roadmaps. People were launching things for fun and people were paying for them with no promise. So a little bit of the onus is always on the collector. But I agree with you. It's not like a great look for him. But when I look at the project,
you look more like a Cole Therum, you know, like probably a piece of shit, but not like an absolute criminal.
Yeah, I think he's a step above Cole, but, you know, that's obviously my bias. Take. I did own some Pudgies back in the day, you know, sold those before all of the Cole drama. But it's a fair take. And look, I look at it now and I look at the project and what it's doing and who they just brought on. It's like, I'm excited. My only concern is the whole cancel culture thing of like, hey, you know, the moral wokeness of whoever. And again, I don't know all the details of some of these projects, so I could be totally in the wrong here. But it sounds like it a bunch of you know some projects that weren't amazing that he moved on from, and he found one that worked, right?
So I was just gonna say, you mentioned that you didn't know much about Pudgy. If you were around last night, you got to hear from the CEO of Pudgy Penguins, and rest assured, by the age of 22, that gentleman ran multiple nine-figure e-commerce businesses by the age of 22. So if you're looking for any sort of legitimacy, that's the sort of legitimacy that I'm looking for. You know, it's interesting that he pulled that off of nine figures, because a good buddy of mine has been working for about, I don't know, about 15, 20 years on his e-commerce business. And he's only on a measly, I'd say seven or eight figures, like a fucking loser.
Yeah, what a bitch. Wow.
Nick, I figured out how these dropshipping scammers inflate their numbers. They actually count add to carts to the revenue. So this guy's done multiple nine figures with add to cart value, just not purchases.
Yeah,
got it. Okay, add to cart.
People are throwing shit in the cart, not ordering.
So what? How is that even a metric? Is that like what they're? When they run ads, rather than doing conversion on sales, they're in order to expand their retargeting audience, they went after just add to cart. And that was the metric.
You know what they do as well. In the cart. Yeah. You can't buy it if it's not in the cart. Okay, it's an important metric. Sorry, go ahead. Note.
I was gonna say what they do. Like these marketers, they'll say nine figures, and what they mean is like if they've ever touched an account or worked, you know, as an agency and worked for somebody else that has done nine figures. That's how they do it. They just slide it in and say, "I have nine figure business. I manage nine figures in revenue, and I happen to work for a company that did that."
Got it. Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous. Technically, then, I've done over nine figures in revenue. I built a mobile app that generated over nine figures in revenue. And so I'm going to put that in my bio moving forward. The last company that I worked at built the mobile app.
Nick.
What's that?
I said you can do that in my bio.
I've used OpenSea, and therefore, you know, I've gotten to 11 figures, so... Yeah.
Whoa, Spencer with the 11 figure come up. That's crazy. Holy shit. Breaking news. Spencer's rich. No, Kix is on one today. You can tell Kix is like distracted. He's just coming in when other people are talking. There's a ton of background noise. We love you, Kix. Yesterday's weather report was an absolute riot. We got Vicky on stage. Vicky, you were present for our show last night, right?
Yeah, I came in at the latter part of the chaos.
Well, what do you make of everything that's going on? I kind of feel like the NFT space just really wanted some stories to talk about, don't you?
I did love the fact that Con posted about, it was a post of like the engagement farming and rolled his eyes, which obviously I think he's kind of resonated to the fact now is like Cool Cats is like gets mentioned whenever there's any kind of drama. So I think that they might end up using that to their advantage. But I think what's interesting and what's going to be the accountability from obviously the Azuki founders, I don't think it's accountability in, I might be proved wrong, in a favourable way in the sense that we decided to do the right thing. I think it's more that they've bought on the Hello Kitty guy and they know what's coming, so they'd rather get it out of the way sooner than later. I think the other thing to note is that one of the founders imitating to be a woman as OX Mandy and reaching out to Richard for dev tips and tricks, I think is a strange way of going about things. I mean, it's not something that we haven't seen before in the space with Russian dudes wanting to be women. I mean, like, it's a very strange thing to go, but I guess...
Wait, sorry, can you recap? What was that?
So if you look at the account of OX Mandy, who then it says Mandy above the top is purporting to be a woman, and that account was obviously, I think it was to do with the Zunks, but that account actually reached out to Richard, and Richard, obviously those that don't know, has got his own, obviously, tech company. So he was posting yesterday, well, who the fuck was I talking to then? So he's like super confused, because quite rightly, he assumed looking at the profile name and picture that he was talking to a woman. So I think that it's not just, there's kind of a lot more layers to rugging each community of money and moving on to the next and using the community as their exit liquidity and say, oh, actually, well, we don't like that one. That didn't really work. Let's try something else. Well, actually, no, today this one didn't work. Let's try something else until we kind of hit the gold mine. And then we can just tell everyone, oh, we're really sorry about the previous things. We were just using your hard-earned cash to work out what works and what doesn't work in the space. And, you know, it's a terrible situation, because there's always going to be someone left holding the bag, you know. And I feel for people, because then naturally their emotional kind of state and financial state is going to be dictated to by their own position, as opposed to obviously what's right and wrong in the space.
Yeah, well, so I just let DXV.eth on stage. I guess we're just going all in on this. I guess this is what the show is going to be this morning. Node, you know, just brace yourself, man. Hey, look.
So just to clarify, this is the leading investigation team that we have over here at the Nifty Morning Alpha. We have a journalism team. We have an investigation team. We have fact checkers and all sorts of things. This is just an expanding team and staff that we have here. And they said, look, you got to get in touch with this DXV.eth guy. You know,
we dug him up.
He's got crypto zunks in his profile. And it sounds like he can help paint the picture of how deep this scam really goes.
Yeah, that was awesome. Really, I just wanted to come on and say, like, there's a lot of misconceptions out there regarding which projects were rugs or fails. And for Zunk specifically, I mean, we have screenshots, we have chats with Kane, who was the owner of the Discord and the project. He basically controlled the wallets. He controlled every type of post we made in the channels. We had to fight to even get the right to tag at here or at everyone in the Discord. So I guess really, just without getting too far into it, letting you guys make your own decisions or understandings of what happened. I have a pinned tweet with some of the screenshots of him promising, like, that he's working on the marketplace or he's working on buying the metaverse land and stuff like that, just never got done. And about a month later, he just disappeared. So really, a lot of this stuff started happening in February, and then we realized that it would probably keep happening, so we tried to talk to him to take over the project ourselves, and he just never replied after that. So that's really...
Just to be clear, the he that you're referring to is the same co-founder of Azuki?
Yeah, Zagabond is Kane. Like, the way that they speak, they're very cryptic in how they're writing. There was some investigation done into who Kane was, and if you looked at his old website, which was Figmatic Labs, the site really looked very similar to what Azuki has on their sites. So we had, like, our thoughts in the beginning, but we couldn't prove it, so we couldn't really say it.
So Zagabond is both of these names?
Yeah, Kane and Zagabond appear to be, like, the same person.
And is Kane another Twitter account?
Kane doesn't have Twitter. It's just the Discord account that he uses for Discord.
Okay. Oh, well, okay. Hey, we appreciate you sharing this information. This is the type of investigation we like doing around here to get to the bottom of some of the most important information in the space, some of these very absolutely critical, life-impacting pieces of information. Now, the real question...
Wait, well, Nick, can you tell the journalism team about this new info real quick? Can you make sure that they're on it? Can you, like, yell over to them?
They're literally listening. Y'all listening to this, right?
We have a 60-person journalism team in the office.
Are you not listening to the show anymore? This is absolute bullshit.
What I really want to know is, did the Zunks and the Funks, did they get whitelist access to Azuki?
Nope, not at
no,
all.
No, we didn't.
I think that's the real rug.
That's bullshit.
Of all of it.
Wait, could I jump in? My whole thing is like I'm okay with Project. I was a Zunk holder, not a Funk holder, but I was interested. I was like, oh, this is cool. And I was an Azuki holder too before yesterday, but it just comes down to like an ethics thing for me. I call it a grifting, not a rug pull, because it's more just taking money and grifting and leaving, kind of pretending. But these were more so all done in a short period of time. It'd be one thing if he made it, if the teams made attempts to keep the projects going and they just fizzled out. But the communities in both projects, especially like in the Funks and Zunks, I mean, were strong and very interested in keeping it going, and the team decided to leave. And that's kind of where I kind of see the problem, because it's just they were all done within a month of each other. And
well, they already made their millions, and the secondary wasn't enough for them to stay around. You know,
I remember in November we made like 240,000 into the community wallet from royalties directly, and then out of that in January 100K was withdrawn from the developer wallet side, and that disappeared. But we got nothing like made with it. And then the rest of the ETH just kept getting devalued and devalued with ETH falling. So it was like a slow, what's it called? A slow grift, I guess you could say. And it just kept going until there was nothing left.
Well, I mean,
I'm wondering about what one other piece of information here. There was this narrative going around Azuki that it's by engineers and people who worked at Google and Facebook. Is there any legitimacy to this? Do you know anything about that? And where did this?
Well, the nice thing about being anonymous, Nick, is that no one can verify it, just like on their other project where they all pretended to be women, which I don't think we talked about that yet, how they pretended to be women for a whole project.
Yeah.
Well, Kix, he did say that there's some girl, Liz, who was running those accounts, and she's going to be on the spaces with them today. So it may not be him pretending to be a woman, but we'll be able to see in a couple hours.
I think that's the real...
What was that, Nick?
There's a space for this?
Yeah, they're Andrew Wang is hosting one in a few hours with Zagabond and the team.
Yeah, it's in 3 hours.
Nick is the real thing here. Is that even, let's say, whatever scale you want to put it on, between fraud or grift or whatever, I think people thought this was a team of, you know, native anime builders that had the ability to build a brand. And so why, even if it's not, they're not total fraudsters, like, why is this still, like, even Captain Kicks finished by saying it's still a great project. Like, why is it still a great project?
Because they're Google, what are we betting on then?
Even if they're just, like, kind of fumbling idiots, and this is their third project, and they're not that bad guys. Like, what's good about this team?
Well, they got Hello Kitty on their advisory board.
They also created beans, and beans look like some of them have flames on them, and some of them look really cute and cuddly.
They did create the ERC-721A, right, which has now become almost an industry standard.
Wait,
for
they didn't create that.
No, I thought they were the ones who engineered that, Azuki.
No, I think maybe that's what they're writing
they
in that
popularized
article.
They popularized it.
That's a different narrative.
Another one that actually launched it. I'm blanking on the name of the project, but we had them in our Discord, and we got people on the allow list.
Like the narratives around this were kind of fabricated.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what it kind of seems like right now. I can just feel Node collapsing in his office right now. This is pretty funny. Look,
how the investigation is going down. Sorry, Pio, I keep speaking over you. My apologies.
It's okay. You got your bagel. You're dealing with the investigative team, the journalism team. I know that they're running over with their headsets being like, we've got new info, boss.
Some of them over here are literally begging for their position right now. That's what they're doing, and that's what y'all need to be doing, okay? Because this is bullshit. You were on the verge of being fired, not listening to this show this morning. This team, I'll tell you,
I mean, Nick, they're sleep deprived. They've been working around the clock. This is a really big 24-hour period with the Suzuki story. I mean, I could see their bloodshot eyes. There's bags under their eyes. You've been yelling at them, working them to the bone. You have a bagel right now. They're trying to actually report. It's just a tough situation.
I don't know where this bagel thing it came from outside of when we were in the Cape, but I haven't had a bagel since Massachusetts.
Nick is getting offended. If you add locks to this joke, P.O., Nick is about to go full full anti-Semitic counter on you.
Cancel culture. No, look, so the bottom line is that Azuki is still holding a $40,000 floor, which is gnarly. So we can't cry too hard for people like Node that are Azuki holders that bought in sub $10,000, I'm assuming, because you're looking at a $40,000 floor.
You still got a chance to get out there, Node.
I got it. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty in the air. And of course, this morning Alpha show is doing absolutely nothing to clarify anything, as we all know how accurate the information is that comes from the top over here. All I know is this. Last week, I swept the Nifty portal floor. I swept 10 of them. And then here's what I get. And I don't even know what you guys are making. All I know is I come on to this show and I try and put my best foot forward.
Hey, let me just publicly apologize before you keep continuing to throw shade on our top tier NFT. You know, that is just absolutely, look, Depeche, we are really sorry. Azuki to the moon. Let's move on from this story, huh, shall we?
I feel like we need to spin up some narratives now because clearly the narratives are what works in the NFT space. So I guess the narrative surrounding our NFT is that it's going to end the drought in California. It's going to rescue all, you know, children in danger. You know, we've got the narratives ready to rock. No, but look, Jesse has his hand raised. Jesse, what's going on?
That was just going to shift to. There has to be some potential alpha there. I think some people bought last night. Excuse me, I'm choking over here. But yeah, so I think
you eating a bagel?
Yeah, I'm having a bagel.
You eating
a
bagel, Jesse?
And I think. I mean, one of the narratives that I think we should talk about is this cult of diamond handing, which now, which for like months and months and months, we said, if you've diamond handed the good projects, like you did great. And we need to recognize that, like, you know, it is not all like this, like hero worship. If you diamond hand, there were so many tweets over the months. I remember like 6 months ago, all the CryptoPunks holders saying you haven't, you know, refusing 200 ETH offers, 400. Oh, you haven't seen diamond hands like that. And you can diamond hand things all the way to the bottom. Like there's a value in trimming, you know, PO, I know you're diamond handing all your Akus, but like there was a value in taking some profits when you can or whatever, you know, we've all done it. Like I've made the opposite mistake. I cardboard hand, I should have held. So I've lost a ton of money by not holding longer, but this is the flip side. You can always sell. And then the thing about selling is you can always buy back. It's a liquid market. So if you sell a mutant today at 22 and then 3 days later, you got a really good feeling about the market or inside. So you buy back at like 23 and okay, you lost a couple of ETH, but if you're, you know, if it's one of your investments, maybe that's worth it. And I think, you know, we need to be wary of worshiping the like kind of the cult of diamond handing.
I definitely agree. I understand what you're saying. So here's my perspective on it is that when you have developed deep conviction in any given project, and it's not easy to develop that conviction.
Like
and obviously
P.O. has in Bitcoin.
It's not bulletproof. Yes, I'd say that I've developed deep conviction in the immutable, impenetrable, new future financial system, you know, for global use. Yes, I would say I've developed conviction in that. And anyway, the thing is when you have that conviction, that's when the diamond handing can be appropriate. And obviously, there's going to be gnarly ups and downs in these markets. The volatility is completely insane. But you also have to factor in short-term capital gains. You have to factor in that the real appreciation does come from long-term holds. Like we saw that, obviously, Bored Ape Yacht Club is the gold standard for that example. But the thing is like a lot of the stuff in the NFT space just isn't at the same level as some of these other projects that we're talking about. I think a lot of people valued Azuki at that level. And now, you know, look, this is just not a good look.
Yeah. If I just say something, it's clear now that PXN is the noble, ethical anime project that has moral fiber and isn't here just to pump and dump.
They're reliable, anonymous people.
the reliable anonymous people, they have not said that they're males or females. They've said they're just people. They're not trying to take advantage of the system, and they're just good people. And they're obviously here for the long term. And I just want to make that known that we're coming for you, Azuki. And yeah, Depeche, this is why I am flooding your bags, because I'm at 3 and you're at 16. And guess what? That's 13 ETH away. It may look like you have a couple laps, but boy, I'm running fast, baby.
All right. Okay.
Joke's on you. Zagabond's the founder of Paxson. So here we go.
Exactly. And he's posing as a woman when he's the founder there. So good luck with that, Kix. That should be fun. No, but in all seriousness, like at the end of the day, like we have so many people that are in the space, like quote unquote, for the money. They're interested in like buying a random JPEG NFT and selling it within 24 to 48 hours for more money than they paid for it. And it's just a different perspective. The thing is, those people have a microphone as well. So that's when you start to see people, you know, talking about, you know, market volatility, you know, telling other people that they should have sold, telling other people that they should have bought. But the bottom line is like over a long time horizon, that's when you actually see the action. And yeah, you need to have real conviction in the good stuff, the actual good stuff, in order to, you know, really survive diamond handing. Jesse, you're not wrong where there are instances that it was appropriate to sell. And we've just seen so many different projects. Think about Pudgy Penguins, where we had that CEO on yesterday. I think Pudgy Penguins went from sub 0.1 ETH to, I don't even remember how high it got. I think it got really, really high, like 3-4.
Yeah, ETH. At least like 2.8, 3.0, yeah, it was around there.
Well, at that time, yeah, that felt really high, but there's other examples of things that did way better. And Kix, go ahead.
Yeah, in all seriousness, it's an interesting phenomenon, which is that, like, it's not just the team, and people were saying this yesterday, it's also the community, right? Like, the community creates blue chips almost as much as a team creates blue chips. And that's why some of these things, despite issues with the community, still can have strength, because of like this interesting like Web3 sector that's going on. If I was Zagabond right now, this is what I would do. I would resign and I would replace myself with myself on a new account. That's what I would do. I think that's the Web3 way.
Sophisticated. Yeah, and I just want to be clear, Pia, that I'm not, this is not, you know, hindsight is like a hell of a drug. This is not, you should have sold because now it's a bear market, but you never see the bear market coming. We're all overexposed on NFTs. Like I said, that's why I said I always have over, you know, I've paper handed way too much. So I've been on the other side of this. But there is kind of this like braggartly culture where people talk about diamond hands on Twitter, but they never say, oh, I some people do. So a lot of people are kind of humble and self-deprecating. But it is, you know, not that many people say, yeah, I diamond handed this Avastars, you know, which I thought was a blue chip, which generally looked like it could have been a blue chip. Or Stapleverse. I, you know, I've diamond handed a couple Stapleverse myself.
Stapleverse.
So, you know, it's not, we always say invest in the good projects. Well, great. You got to tell me what the good projects are ahead of the time. You can't
the good
hindsight.
Yeah.
I've diamond handed plenty of shit down to zero. It's just in my hidden folder by this point, and you rarely even see them anymore.
But you've diamond-handed Bored Apes, and obviously that worked out really well for you. I think that what we're really talking about is the difference between building deep conviction and not, because having the deep conviction is what makes you able to stomach the volatility. And I just think that that's not as present in the space as it will be in the future. Go ahead, Nick.
I just want to provide a quick update here on this ERC 721A. Which
Toy Boogers, right? Toy Boogers?
Toy Boogers, you're correct. And the dev team behind it was pagzi.ca. PAGZI.CA. I have DMs with the developer, the lead developer on that team, back in November 19th. Azuki didn't come out until January. So I don't know where they're claiming that. Maybe they had released that prior to November. Maybe they had released that with one of the other three projects that were not calling rugs. But the bottom line is it was around since then. Look, all this code is open source in general, so you can evolve it. I was actually hesitant at that time to even incorporate some of the code that was done in here, but I had an exhaustive conversation with the developer over at Pagzi. So yeah, that's what it was. Toy Boogers was the first one that had used that and really popularized it. And a lot of people were saying, wait, holy shit, like this doesn't have any fees in terms of transferring. And it saves fees both on the minting and on the transfer. So anyways, just thought I'd clarify that.
Shout out to Zoe Steckel, who DM'd me because I believe she had worked with Toy Boogers and maybe still does, and DM'd me about that contract. I brought Franklin on stage. Franklin, you've been a diamond hander for a long time. You also posted a tweet yesterday I saw where you made like $80 on a trade. That's pretty crazy, Franklin. Holy shit.
What's up?
You have a gold ape. You made $80 on a trade yesterday. What do you make of everything that's going on right now?
It's crazy. As a former big Funks holder, I had no idea. You know, I had no idea that connection. It's ridiculous. I mean, although both projects, they do face left. I'm not gonna lie. When I saw Azuki take off, a lot of these profile pictures faced right, except Cool Cats, and then Azuki was facing left. And I was like, that's interesting. Like, people like the left-facing stuff now. So that was like a paying homage to the CryptoFunks. I mean, you know, you can't at this point, everything's on table. Maybe Andrew asked that at the spaces today. But I mean, I guess I'm not too surprised that like somebody who made Funks and I'm definitely not surprised that the Zonk team was the same as Funks team. The OX Mandy situation, Polly sussed that out real quick, and I kind of agreed with him. Me and Mandy talked briefly. I have no like programming or dev experience, so I didn't really have much to help her or him with, and just gave like general like trait information about what I saw in Punks and Funks. But I don't know where I was going with that. Oh yeah, I'm not too surprised about like devs working behind the scenes on other projects. The Funks project was really like, it was a really smooth minting process, so it was like a really smart dev, and it wasn't like a, you know, just basic dev who just wanted to rug the community. So I could see like people from that project, you know, kind of sprinkling their work on other projects. I didn't think it would take off like Azuki did. I did get a DM from Zagabond on November the 19th, well before Azuki launched. There was nothing in that DM that suggested he worked with Funks or Zonks, but maybe he knew to DM me and like promote Azuki because of my like, yeah, Funks were like taking off at the time. So
yeah, because of your celebrity, Franklin, he knows you're a heavy hitter.
I ignored it.
Yeah, there you go. One quick question for you, Franklin. Obviously, I think that you'd probably put Bored Ape Yacht Club in the kind of blue chip category. Is there another NFT project out there that you would put into the quote unquote blue chip category?
Well, I was going to say Azuki. I don't know if, you know, my mentions might get crazy if I said Azuki, but they were doing really well. I don't own Azuki. I bought a Beans last night. That's my full disclosure. I'm trying to flip it if the market does better, but we'll see later today. But yeah, I thought Azuki had a strong community. You know, anytime I see Dingling spend $2-3 million on it, you know, it's probably a good project. It's probably a good project.
Yeah, probably a pretty decent sign, right? Where you got that guy deploying hundreds of thousands of bucks in one. Yeah.
Just a sweep of like, you know, 500 ETH. He'll tweet about it. Nice flex. And he buys all those gold ones. But I'm still waiting for him to get a gold ape, but we'll see about that.
I love the flex. Franklin comes on stage. He's like basically like Dingling, get like me, like get on my level. Come on now.
Yeah. So the party in LA, that was a really bullish sign for me. I was sitting here at home and like woke up randomly in the middle of the night. And of course, when you wake up in the middle of the night, you check your Twitter, you check your bags to make sure the market didn't go to zero. So I go there and like the market's going to infinity because everybody's buying Azuki's. And everybody's buying the beans. Well, at that point, it was a pile of dirt. Maybe that was a message from Zagabond saying, like, hey, we can make piles of dirt. We can make backwards-facing profile pictures and still get, you know, 2 or 3 ETH from you guys and get royalties as devs.
Now, the truth has come out, you can look back and you can kind of think that way. Mm-hmm. You had your hand raised. Did you want to add something to what Franklin's saying?
Well, something – I don't know if I wanted to say this. I feel like Franklin just had a slip with the name of Dingling. So
what do you mean?
I'm trying to figure out that. Did we say Dingling or Ben Ling? Because I'm wondering.
Oh, Dingling. Sorry. It's early here.
Got it. Well, hopefully we didn't just dot.
Yeah, Nick, it's my alter ego. I just add a Ling to the end of my name.
Yeah, you said Nick. What are you like? Dingling. That's the guy's. you know, Twitter name. We don't know if his name is like Ben Ling. I don't know
about that. Well, I know Ben Ling. That's why I mentioned that. And it's a big time investor based in Miami. Oh. Anyways, I'm just piecing together some info that may not be legit. But hey,
you trying to hear from Ben Ling's lawyers or something? What's going on?
Never mind, Pio. Clearly, you haven't pieced together what I'm saying is that Franklin is in it. Anyways, man, I'm not going to spell it out live on stage. I'll have to do this behind closed doors so you can actually understand what I'm referring to here. But the bottom line is, I want to skip over to some other subject matter at this moment.
Yeah,
in time,
for sure.
Since we're not going to be doxing somebody. So in terms of health of the market, I'd posted a tweet earlier this morning. And it was based on number of sales going to offers, and we're currently at an all-time high at this point in time, which is 9%. That said, 9% doesn't seem like catastrophic. You know, like it's actually fairly bullish that you know, like 9% is a bad case scenario. A real crush on liquidity would be when 50% of things are going to offers. Then you would know things are real bad because there's no buyers in the market. But overall, and that's why actually last night I was thinking, maybe it's time to sweep up a couple of things right now, at least in the short term, is like the NFT market's not just going to go to zero all of a sudden holistically. And I think that there's a lot of people that are interested in participating in this market, in addition to those who have been on an ongoing basis participating in this market. So it's I like when things yesterday may have been the most bloody day that we've seen in a long time.
Yep.
And you get this combination not only of just severe market conditions with the continuation of the stock market implosion, but you also get and then crypto imploding correspondingly. Then you get Luna and Luna imploding. And I think that those two things just created such a significant negative pressure on the market. And all I can say is, wow, I actually think NFTs have performed incredibly well under such extreme duress.
I'm so glad you're saying that, Nick.
That's not to say that I don't think that there's more potential downside, you know, opportunity here. Just from the standpoint that, look, it's difficult looking at a piece of land that we have no idea what it is. And has Bored Ape Yacht Club continued to pull rabbits out of hats and deliver insane value to their holders? Yes. And you can't make that counter trade until it fails. And so far, it has not failed. But I don't know. I think it's interesting just seeing the spike up to 9% of sales going to offers. It doesn't look good, but it also simultaneously feels remarkably healthy. And
what's the average, Nick? What is it typically?
It's usually around 3%.
Okay, so 3x on the and it yesterday, like you said, is the bloodiest day we've seen in a long time. Traditional markets are getting wrecked, and I'm looking at the floor Mutant Ape, and it's for sale for $48,000. So yeah. I can list a Mutant Ape right now for $45,000. I can undercut the floor by $3,000, $4,000, and it'll probably sell within 15 minutes. But yeah. Holy shit, NFTs are in a tough place. I literally have a JPEG where I've already gotten the land airdrop. I've got the coin airdrop. We don't even know what the value of the thing is. And people are like buying them actively for 50 grand. I mean, I'm not scared of any volatility coming up. Like, how bad can things possibly get? This was like the worst 3-day stretch, and you're seeing a 20,000 piece. I hope it goes down by another 50%. So well, what? The Mutant Ape is going to be 25 grand. Oh no. Like, so you know, I'm just saying.
I'm saying a worst case scenario is truly a financial collapse, which we've seen before, and the stock market is not yet through to a level of full-blown capitulation.
And so I think we have a ways to go. The Fed doesn't operate on a, I mean, they operate on a day-to-day basis, but they don't communicate their intentions necessarily on a daily basis. Instead, we wait for those meetings. So I think that, like, this is something that's going to play out longer term. And right now, the market instead tries to adjust instantly to future anticipated future economic impact. And so that's why we're seeing the prices adjust so rapidly. But in general, I think if it adjusts deep enough downward, we actually have a lot of positive momentum in the NFT space. And buying during these really bloody times is probably not a bad idea until the NFT trade is dead. And for now, the NFT trade is not dead, and the market is growing. And I would be in an emerging market, you get a lot more support than is normal in a more mature market, because there's a flood of new interest. And so I think we're not seeing that disappear. And from that standpoint, based on how it performed yesterday, I am just generally bullish on the overall market, barring any sort of severe macro events.
Yeah, I think, if you would have looked at the market, say, in December, and then looked at it like right now or like 3 days ago, you would have been fine. It's just that we had this massive pump in January, a couple massive pumps. We just had the Bored Ape. So there was, this is the nature of an emerging market. It's going to be more volatile. But if you just look at the macro trends, they're still relatively good. This is what I was mentioning yesterday, that I don't think NFTs are going to follow ICOs. ICOs were purely a financial innovation, right? A great one. Like, I think we all believe that, billion-dollar, Web3 or even Web2 businesses will be built through coin offerings. But the supply, it was purely financial. So only people, there's more people that know what a Bored Ape is or a CryptoPunk is than even knows what an ICO is right now. Like, there's no way my mom knows what an ICO is. But
yeah, Jesse, and you don't even have to look back to December. Like, you could look back just a couple weeks ago, right before the other side came out. Like, a lot of these prices, not the Bored Ape specifically, but a lot of the prices across the board are only two to 3 weeks removed from what they were. So I think, when you look at the up-only mentality that a lot of people had and the fact that there really hadn't been any major NFT corrections, I wasn't surprised that we saw a pullback. It was a little more, abrupt than I expected. But the interest rates increasing and stocks going down is just, a whirlwind of bad things happening at the same time. But when you look at the floors and what things were really not that far removed from what they were just a few weeks ago.
And I mean, ETH already bounced back. I don't know. There's kind of a counterintuitive. I wonder if the Terra thing maybe makes more people a little more confident in ETH, which has a pretty strong narrative. And obviously, you've got upcoming. And so I don't know. It's like if you bought, everything. I don't know if it's just a dead cat bounce, but if you bought last night when there's clearly people were panicked over the Terra thing, Dead Fellows was under one, down to 0.9. Now it's 1.3. All these kind of like these baseline, what you use as like baseline other than just Bored Apes, they all kind of are up like 30%. So I think we're all hesitant to tell people to buy or even give specific things. Maybe I'll wait a day or two before I offer one. A suggestion, because I think you start to feel guilty if it doesn't go right. But it's certainly possible that by Friday you would have been looking back to Monday and being like, shoot, I should have bought. That was clearly, people were panic selling.
Well, I mean, look, let's call a spade a spade. We don't really talk about this enough, but when Ethereum goes down by like $200 or $300 in price, Twitter acts like the world is ending. Discord acts like the world is ending, which is absolutely hilarious to think about. Like, I don't understand. Why would $1,500 ETH in the next 3 weeks be bad? Like, why wouldn't I want to buy ETH for $1,500? I really do not understand why that would be a bad thing for me, at least. I mean, if someone is over leveraged or just thought that they were going to buy a bunch of ETH today and make, like, quote unquote, make money, right? In other words, make a trade and land fiat as a result and have more fiat in the process. I just don't get it. I just think totally differently about the whole thing.
It depends where you bought in, Pio. Like, some people bought in at, 2,900. So seeing it at 1,500, they're,
their value unrealized decreased by almost 50% right away. And if they're looking to, you know, extract that or take profits or buy into something else, it's, you know, it's good for the people who are looking to buy or who are more long term. But if you're onboarding people, this could really freak them out in a way that, you know, we're more used to being through multiple cycles of not just NFTs crashing, but ETH crashing pretty hard. You know, last year it went from, you know, 4,000 to 2,000 in a matter of weeks, and then back up to 4,000 and even hit all time highs. So, you know, we've been through it, but somebody who's buying in and then they see their holdings crash by 50%, like what if they move their money from stocks that are more stable, you know, ETH, and then the ETH drops, it could just be a scary situation for people who are not as familiar with the volatility.
I understand what you're saying, Ben. And what are you talking about here? You're talking about that conviction thing that I was talking about before. The people don't understand what the asset was that they were buying in the first place. They were probably told or they heard you can buy this asset at one price and then at a later date you can sell it at a higher US dollar price. But the reality of the situation is you shouldn't be buying assets that you don't understand. You should be developing deep conviction and actually know what the hell it is that you're buying. And we've seen this with Bitcoin. With public figures. Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports bought a ton of Bitcoin at a really high price, literally had no idea what it was. It corrected by like 30%. Portnoy's basically the only guy that lost money on Bitcoin in 2021. When you look
an article just came out that said 40% of people are currently underwater on Bitcoin. So your numbers may be slightly off.
I appreciate
the analysis.
He opened a position and then sold it for a loss in 2021 when it was basically up only. But the more important thing was he just didn't know what it was. And you'll see me tweet from time to time that 99.9% of the global population doesn't understand what Bitcoin is and why it's important. But then more importantly, literally 99% of people that own Bitcoin and actually hold Bitcoin don't understand what it is and why it's important. So until you correct that, until you actually understand what it is that you're buying, it's not going to be a fun ride anywhere. Way you spin it, even when it goes up, it's not going to be a fun ride because you're going to be like, should I sell it? Do I have to hold it? Is it going to go up more? The most important thing is to actually understand what a crazy idea, right? Understand what the hell you're buying, right? Would you ever go to the grocery store and buy something and you just don't know what it is? It's like, yeah, I don't know what that is.
But I've also gone to the grocery store and paid 4 times what I should on ice cream just because I want ice cream right then. So I'm just saying, like, it's not necessarily a good price.
But did you think you were going to sell the ice cream? Did you buy the ice cream to sell it at a later date? Like, why'd you buy the ice cream?
I don't know about you, but that's why I go shopping, player. Everything I buy, you know, I'm just a consistent flipper. That's the sort of life that I lead.
Okay, well, anyway, Iceman has his hand raised. Iceman, community star from the Nifty Discord. What's going on?
Hey, welcome to McDonald's. How can I take your order? sorry, I think I got the wrong headphone on. Let me just switch over here. GM, what a exciting night we had and what a wonderful space you guys held. Great job. I'm interested to know, because no one has touched on this yet, and I'm sure maybe we just glanced over it in the Discord or you guys didn't see it, but there's also been speculation that Bean's metadata was given or leaked to the Azuki team.
Oh, boy.
I'll post the link here, Pio, in the Discord, but it seems like someone was able... So clearly, 3 hours before reveal, someone was able to sell 4 beans. They sold 2 commons and picked up a rank 37 and a rank 355. So I don't know. I'm sorry, Node. You know how much I love you, but this doesn't look great for your beans, my friend.
It does not look great. No, again, a lot of uncertainty here. Glad I sold one pre-reveal, I suppose, is all I can say to that.
Yeah, you covered your whole cost, like you covered what you put in, and you're still holding 2 assets that are worth like almost 50 grand. So I don't think we should cry too hard for Node. But anyway, all right, look, so clearly the house of cards of Azuki is unraveling a little bit. We'll see if they actually recover. Who the hell knows?
Their floor is up 80% from where it was last night, so... If you'd made that trade, is it back down again?
I saw it go down as low as 10 yesterday, and today came back up to 16 or so.
Yeah, it's at 16 now. This morning it was like 18. So, I mean, you could have actually swept the floor at 10. I'm curious about this space in particular, because I feel like this is a risky proposition. They better be prepared going into this. And based on the article that he wrote the other night or last night that was published, it seems like it would be questionable who the PR team is over there. But who's the person hosting the space later today?
Andrew Wang, I think.
Got it. Okay. Well, we'll see.
I think it's at 12 Eastern, Nick, if someone wants to double check, but I'm pretty sure that's what I saw.
Well, yeah, we're going to have to tune into that.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably something to tune into. We'll see what happens with it. But I brought Spencer back on, or Spencer's rugged again. Okay, cool. Look, in terms of other stuff, at some point, some of these NFT projects are going to be a buy. At some point, you know, these different cryptocurrencies are going to be a buy. What do we think could be like an isolated win here? I just brought Spencer back on stage. He hasn't been able to contribute today because he keeps getting rugged. What are you thinking about the market right now? I mean, you're basically a professional investor, Spencer. What do you think is going on?
You know, I think what we saw yesterday was that the market got oversold. And then today is a bounce from the oversold conditions. So there were some really good buying opportunities. I know I've been screaming from the top of my lungs, but I was picking up 10K TF Gucci Grails yesterday around one. I thought that was a really good buy. They're sort of recovered back up to 1.3. But basically what I've been looking at is when you see a lot of a certain collection listed on the market, that's not usually representing a change in buyers, but it will push the floor price down, because when you have supply go up but demand doesn't change, you see floor price go down. But then if it's around news, like that asymmetry between new people listing and new people buying tends to correct. And I think that's what we saw today with this bounce. There's a bounce in the overall markets as well, so this is not unique to NFTs. But I think the bounce today, to me, feels like a trap. I think you can look at the bounce today and say, oh, that was the bottom, we're going up. I don't believe that narrative. I think we are still on the way down. I think we just oversold yesterday, and today is a corrective bounce and not oversold. But if you look, like, we're still trending downward. So I would caution people who think, oh, this is all over. No. The reason that we were all so bearish in the last couple of days is because the macro for the next few months, I think, looks pretty bad. But yesterday was a great example of in really bad circumstances. Is, you know, what they always say, that's when the legends are made, because that's when you see stuff like beans go to one or whatever, where there's just incredible buying opportunities. And so the narrative of the next few months, I think, is going to be liquidity management and just sitting on liquidity for those golden opportunities that happen for pretty short periods of time where things get significantly oversold. Because when you look at the overall NFT market, I mean, most collections have like sub 10% or around 10% of their collection listed, which means if 10% of the people decide to start listing, you double the supply on the market and the demand just doesn't increase proportionately. So in those situations, things just get significantly oversold. And I think we're going to continue to see that. It also doesn't surprise me that in a down market is when we're seeing some of these like other things surface, like the Azuki Funks thing, right? Like there's going to be a huge filtering out towards quality in this space. And I think that's just one of many surprises or many dirty laundries that are going to get aired in the coming months as well.
Yeah, there's going to be wins. There's no question that there's going to be wins. And then if you are like an actual like trader's trader, like somebody that's been successful trading in different markets, and you're an active participant in the NFT and crypto markets like Easy Eats Bodega is, you're going to be able to find opportunities easy. You had a hell of a night last night shorting and longing and getting liquidated and not getting liquidated. It was a hell of a night for you.
It was a blast.
You know, what are you doing in this market now? Like, what are you looking for? Are you trying to trade NFTs? Are you going back to coins? Are you focused on Solana? Are you looking at ETH? Like, what's going on in Easy Eats' world?
Yeah, I mean, there's still projects that are dropping every day on Sol and kind of just moving very well. So you still have opportunities for like 3-4x's on like a smaller scale. Sol bounced pretty hard last night, up over 73. Off of speculation that Solana will have a stablecoin due to SBF's comments on the Luna situation. So that's kind of interesting. A lot of people are getting a little bit excited about that. It was the rumblings of the morning. So I'm probably going to dive into a little bit of reading around that, try to figure out if there is any legitimacy to that, because that's something I would want to get in on a ground floor of, just because of the backing, unlike what Luna experienced last night. ETH side, I am starting to look for things. I bought a three lander at like 1.5, which was a terrible buy in hindsight, but I actually kind of want to add to that. I'm a little bit interested in that ecosystem. I want to see how the week shakes out, though. I'm still bearish overall price action. I think we go lower. It's just that everything doesn't go straight down. So I think that's kind of what we're seeing right here. I'm a little bit hesitant to deploy a ton of capital. I am still looking macro scale for the short side. Probably going to be scalping a little bit today on the upside, depending on where coins tend to go. But I'm just really trying to keep a lot more still in USDC. I still think we might see ETH dip under 2K, which I'm an active buyer at that point.
I'm agreeing. My target's, what did we say yesterday? 1,700 or something like that?
Yeah, I'm like 1,820. You were a little bit lower, like 1,706, I think.
Yeah, so that's definitely a target. It may take, it could take even weeks to
Yeah, it could be a month, and I don't mind sitting USDC for a month if I have to.
Yeah, and the other thing I was gonna ask Easy is, so what does a Solana stablecoin do when they have to reboot the Solana server? Like, how does that operate?
So that's the best, because then it goes to 0 and 1 at the same exact time. So that'll be a lot of fun. You probably shouldn't FUD it either, considering SBF's hand with FTX and considering the long-standing partnership and relationship that FTX has with this morning show. So we're really excited for this coin, right, Nick? And we wish it nothing
really,
but success.
We're really bullish.
You got to be careful with you know, you'll have an interesting thought here, Easy, on Sol, which is like, I have a buddy that's a savant when it comes to DeFi, and he's like quite bearish on Sol for that reason, because if you've got like collateral and liquidations going on and the network is shut down, like, how does that work? Like, and you've got money stuck. And
you get the ever living shit liquidated out of you. It happens.
Yeah. Well, a lot. Yeah.
Easy knows that what, game. No, go ahead.
Sorry,
go ahead.
I was going to say, what happens is the trade may not go through.
Actually, though, especially if it's like on chain, like there's a few DEXs that are on, like SPL DEXs that are on chain. And that's what I was trading on last night. Like, that's like peak degen, because when Sol has any latency issues, it's like, oh, yeah, you're going to get liquidated and you can't even put a stop loss in.
But isn't
or like
way-
a take profit. Like,
isn't the way that Solana works, well, when the reboot happens, they all agree on the block number that they want to go back to, mm-hmm. is my first understanding of things. And so you could miss any transactions after that. So, I mean, not that it makes a huge deal. But the other thing is like, and I don't know if this is technically correct, and honestly, this is too in the weeds, but basically, and the way that Solana was able to materialize all of the transaction volume that they're able to do, is that it's not actually all materialized to the chain immediately, that it's basically perpetually materializing, and instead it's the equivalent of like putting all the transactions in memory without writing it to the file
yes.
system.
That's like exactly what it is, and it's why you have like those DDoS issues and stuff right now. Like, it's why you actually, because that memory overload, it just ends up causing like bugs in the system and slowing it down. So like, that's obviously the biggest issue here, is like, there's not enough validators to process those transactions. So without the validators to process those transactions, you run into
memory
all
overload.
Those issues that compound. Yeah. All the technical, like in the most layman's terms, you run into the computer that's processing your soul heating up and exploding. And that's basically what happens on like a weekly basis.
Which is so bonkers that that's the architecture of it. I feel like instead, like Solana is a step in the direction of finalizing this. This is getting way too technical. I'm going to be honest for this show normally, but
me and Nick just nerding out hardcore right now.
We got some software engineers going off. I mean, look, at the end of the day, Solana is clearly coming up in the world in a big way. You know, I was talking with someone from the professional sports world, and they manage an athlete, and they were talking about doing the drop on Solana, or they were asking me like, does it make more sense to do Solana? Or
well, you
got to
think
Ethereum.
Who the other athletes are. Like, Michael Jordan's son did the hair drop on Sol. We have
Shaq,
Steph Curry
right?
doing the drop and Shaq.
Yeah.
There's three NBA players right there who are dropping on that chain. You have Tom Brady doing a lot of his stuff through FTX, which his NFT was through. It's just like they have the pockets to drive the advertising for the athletes. So it makes sense. And like, obviously, this is an issue now for Sol. But I don't think this is a forever issue. Like, everyone gives me shit because I'm like, oh, you're backing a centralized VC-funded blockchain. And I'm like, damn right I am. Like, they have the most money to make sure it goes well.
Yeah, and there's a lot of vested interest in making sure that it goes well. And the centralization in this regard is not bad because it's not trying to be money. This is the biggest like misconception that people have is people think because they hear the word cryptocurrency that all these things are trying to be money. The only one that's actually money is Bitcoin, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing else is money.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying real quick. It's just weird to call something money. Like, I don't call the Amazon app in my phone money. I don't call, like, my iPhone software money. I'm just saying. But anyway, speaking of FTX, I have it pinned to the top. All of our content is sponsored by FTX. We love them as a sponsor. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX. You can sign up with the code THENIFTY on your mobile phone. Nick, did you have anything to add about our valued and you know trusted sponsor, FTX? Was there anything that you wanted to add?
Nothing other than I value them way more than Bitcoin, something that there's a cult of people who believe that it's real money. Shout out to those individuals. Hope things work out for you. But
99% of people that hold Bitcoin don't understand Bitcoin.
On a separate note, did we talk about Antonym yesterday and them having all of their project funds in UST?
Ouch.
Yeah. They posted an announcement like, we're actively managing the situation. We'll let you know what happens. I'm sitting there like, I think that's a nice way to say we just went bankrupt.
Yeah, we got some. I'm sure there's some memes on deck for that one. Signal has her hand raised. I feel like we need to hear something intelligent. What's going on?
Real quick. What is actively managing that mean? Like, what possibly? Literally, we have no control over the situation right now. But we are actively.
Nick, it means that we're actively moving it to Tornado Cash for whatever's left.
What we've done is we've issued Xanax to our entire team. They all appear to be mellow for the moment.
Signal, was there something you wanted to share?
Yeah, no, I was going to ask Easy, you're a buyer of Matic following the news that Meta is partnering with Polygon as they push into Web3. That is, they've basically chosen Polygon as their ecosystem.
I saw that yesterday and I was like, I don't know if this is like because they have ties already to... Like the head of YouTube Gaming went over there. So I'm curious like if it's existing relationships that are playing into that. I'm curious what led to that decision. Because like at the same time, people, once again, give me shit for Soul going down. That Dolce & Gabbana drop on Polygon was one of the shittiest experiences in the entire world. Like it took 8 hours to get an NFT you paid $400 for. And some people paid even more than that actually. It was like $1,500. But still, it was like... This is insane to me that there's any capacity that they're going that route when Polygon's having so many issues and we're seeing games on Polygon move to AVAX and other chains. So it's like, are they going to completely overhaul it with Meta or like what's the plan there? You know, that's kind of my thought.
Easy. Also, I think the thing here too with Solana and Polygon that is the elephant in the room is like if ApeCoin becomes an L1, like, how does that play into all of this? Because it's like when we talk about the thesis of it's a VC-backed chain, like it's the same VCs backing ApeCoin, pushing it to be an L1.
Well, that's why I'm so bullish on AVAX, because AVAX is also has VC money heavily invested in it and at that interest. And it's an altcoin or a side chain or a fork of ETH using some of the same underlying functionality. And that's where a lot of games are going. There's also a lot of partnership money coming in from AVAX, which helps. Whereas like a Polygon situation, it's still largely not driving a lot of that same funding. So I don't know. I'm taking a look. It's going to be interesting because like obviously there has to be a chain that wins, I guess you could say. But it wouldn't shock me if we start seeing different use cases for each chain. Like I don't see games taking off on ETH until ETH 2.0 comes out in 2064.
Yeah, 2064 can't come soon enough. Look, I let Gentle Tornado on stage. We were talking about some technical stuff. I feel like some people, you know, myself included, that don't understand the technical, sometimes you can kind of get lost in that. So I brought Gentle Tornado on stage. I don't bring him up that often, but he always puts on a good performance. Gentle Tornado, what's on your mind?
Yeah, so I wanted to come up and just, talk about stable coins and stuff and how the market's crashing. And really give you guys some alpha. Strike! Let's go! It's Tuesday. We're up. Fucking Nifty Portal, baby. We're so out here. I love all of you. I don't know what anything you guys are talking about, but we're riding. If we're going to ride into the darkness, we might as well do it with a good vibe. So I'm here to bring you guys up Let's fucking go. The Nifty portal's holding strong, baby. Let's go. NFA.
Thank you, Gentle Tornado. He's a gentle tornado, ladies and gentlemen. He's not an aggressive tornado, but he's a tornado nonetheless. Thanks for coming up, buddy. I expected exactly that, and I like the little trick that you played on us at the beginning where you acted like you were going to actually say something in the pocket of the show. But we love it when you come on stage and talk about that. Look, we've been giving Node a hard time. Node buys all the best shit. Node has a punk. He's got an ape. He's got
an SMB. Like Node knows his shit.
Node is an absolute monster. All the trolls on Twitter should take a page out of Node's book and pay attention because he buys all the best shit and he buys it pretty early. Node, you know, what are you doing? Are you sitting on your hands right now? Like, just let us know, like, what's on Node's mind in this market?
Have we finally convinced you to dump all of your Azukis? Where are you at exactly? Yeah. You know, again, I think I've mentioned it, right? Like I'm not going to defend Zagabond. I don't know enough about the situation. So that, I mean, that's obviously, it's a concern. I like the project itself, and we'll have to see how everything shakes out. I've got, you know, I've been listing stuff on Looks Rare, trying to get those rewards. I have my Doodles, my Azuki, my Mutant listed above floor. Just to kind of get those rewards. But I am, you know, in general with the market, I'm kind of just sitting on my hands. I agree with what Easy said, that we could have a little bit of a little dead cat bounce here. And I think it's hilarious that like you literally could see UST, like people are charting UST, you know, like over the last few days, which is so funny. And so I wonder what's going to happen with all of that. But my whole thing is trying to find projects that I think are going to be blue chips at the top. I'm gonna wait and see what happens. I've got a little bit of liquidity on the side ready to go. So
yeah, everybody should know that Node is legitimately like the best investor on this stage. I have to think he just buys all the best shit earlier than everybody else. Not like the earliest, but earlier than everyone else. So definitely can, take a page out of Node's book if you want to be successful. We got Doc Walk on stage. He's got a slim hood as his profile picture.
Hey,
repping V-Friends hard. Repping V-Friends too hard and random character.
He's collected. Also been on stage multiple times, Pia, so shout out.
My bad, Doc Walk. Your PFP didn't, good. Yeah, it's not recognizable
so much,
to me.
Nick. Hey,
yeah, we got Coinbilly in the crowd too. Your boy Coinbilly from Random Character Collective. So what's going on, Doc Walk?
Coinbilly is a legend. I can't believe you haven't brought him on stage. This guy, he's number one. Hey, I just wanted to. Well, Tornado kind of stole my thunder because I wanted to jump here and hype it up a little bit. You guys are like freaking like. Try not to forget, you're really popular in this space. Okay, guys, like these new NFT. Space, these people that get into the NFT space, they're brand new, they start listening to you, and we just gotta let them know, hey, this is all gonna come back around. Like, it is a good time to buy ETH right now. I got lucky that my debit card was not working a couple days ago when I was trying to buy ETH. I mean, that was a blessing in disguise. I just wanna, if Pio, I know you don't remember me, I'm the guy, remember when we all had our conspiracy hats on last week? I was wearing a shower cap instead, you know? Like, I was in the shower trying to win an NFT, and I gave it away to the other guy who actually won.
Oh!
So,
what, yes. A guy!
Yeah. So, I bring that up because, look, good karma is going to turn back around. Someone in here is who lost ETH or whatever, it's all coming back around. I'm looking for that good karma. It's going to come back around. And maybe my good karma was getting a follow from NFT Nick. Like, I don't know. But just everybody in this space that's new, just know, like, now's it's a good time to jump in. Don't be scared. Don't be scared of this market. This is awesome. I mean, beans are one ETH. It's amazing. Anyway, thanks so much for letting me come up. Karma is going to come around and going to help us all out. And we just need to ride this wave all the way back up. It's going to come back. Ups and downs.
Doc Walk, you're the man. I just followed you. You're welcome on the show anytime. And my apologies for not remembering that you'd been on the show before. I just want to point out, you won a giveaway and another person won a giveaway. And you said, no, give it to that person. Give it to that person instead of me. When usually random people are trying to scam us out of the giveaway and DM us and say, I'm the person that you just called the name, trying to confuse us every time. So you basically did the opposite of what the average person does. So, hey, hell yeah.
That's awesome.
And Doc Walk, what's going on in Random Character Collective? I invited Coinbilly up to the stage, but he's busy doing big business stuff, listening from the audience there. He's on his typewriter or whatever Coinbilly does, you know, doing his taxes. I don't know. What's going on with Random Character Collective?
Dude, see, RCC is so amazing. Let me just tell you. Like, okay, Coinbilly, this guy, I think he doesn't get on Spaces a ton because there's so much going on. He cannot slip up and tell us what's going on behind the scenes. Like, we'll ask him questions and he'll almost say a drop date and he'll backtrack it. I mean, we got Kith coming up with Invisible Friends. That's like a big thing. We've got 3D Invisible Friends. That the artist Winnut. He's the one that does Clay Boys, and he is an amazing 3D artist. That's happening, but that's all in the summer. No, Kith drop is this month. We're not sure exactly what it is, honestly. 3D Invisible Friends is coming next in the summer, actually. What's coming right now? Moodverse. So, you know, the mood rollers, those yep. mood flippers, that's happening. I'm hoping this month. Those are legit. They got sound. It's going to be amazing. And then, of course, Slim Hoods is coming out with their 3D version. So there's a lot coming. And I think Coinbilly and Ash and Nels, they're all like just kind of biding their time, waiting in the wings, waiting for a good time to drop all that stuff. You got to remember, RCC never made any promises besides fantastic art. And as soon as it dropped, everyone's like, when utility. So, I mean, they're giving it to us. It's just the Discord is always on fire in there. It's amazing. There's lots of things happening, lots of things coming. Very bullish on RCC. Unfortunately, my invisible friend did get stolen from my wallet because
we do have a weakness.
Yes, that happened and that sucked. But I'm positive. I'm trying to flip my way back up. I joined FTX. Like I'm gonna work my way up. I'm positive. I'm over being sad. I'm just gonna flip my way back up and get back in that exclusive club.
All right. Well, hey, I'm sorry to hear that you got robbed of your invisible friend. That absolutely sucks, but I see you still rocking the Slim Hood. People have to keep in mind that, you know, these projects have a lot of resources, right? They got a lot of capital from the primary sale, and that there's projects out there that are actually deploying that capital appropriately and not just paying out 80% of it as bonuses to the founding team immediately after the primary sale, like most projects in the NFT space do. And when those projects actually drop new stuff, it can generate some excitement in the NFT market. So who knows which direction we go in. Quite frankly, I feel like I hope that we go lower here because I'm more interested in buying things that I like for a cheaper price. I don't buy the ribeye when it's at its all-time high price. I buy it when it's on sale. You know, the manager's special, as you call it, at the butcher shop. But yeah, we're at time here.
Real quick, ahead, I just Nick, want yeah. Before we wrap, I just want to let people know I pinned to the top a chart on the technicals of UST in case anybody was confused about where support and resistance lies with the stable coin that's supposed to be priced at $1. So it's right at the top. A lot of people get confused about that sometimes. They say, shouldn't it be at $1? Yeah, but you know, it's still what we call this is a floating stable coin. And so sometimes the dollar is not worth a dollar, but one UST is always worth one UST. No matter the price. So there you go. If you're looking for a range right now, the range that we're currently looking at is somewhere between 76 cents and $1 for this stable coin. And that's, you know, that's
pretty good range for a dollar asset, you know?
I mean, look, you're definitely appealing to all the UST maxis out there, the folks that are like one UST equals one UST. I don't know what you're talking about, US dollars. You know, I'm in this for the lulls. That's hilarious, though.
Okay.
All right. There we go. Hey, sign up for FTX, thenifty.com/FTX, or with the code THENIFTY on your mobile phone. Check out our NFT. In tomorrow's, we do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern. For the rest of the week and forever, I'll have another tweet up there that has links to all of our content, our podcasts, YouTube, TikTok, all that stuff, our Discord, everything. But until then, thanks so much for joining, everybody. Make sure you follow the great speakers that we have on stage. And don't worry about Node. He's going to be fine. Azuki has a $40,000 floor. Come on now, guys. Come on. And just remember, look, when you move through these markets, you really want to be humble about it. And you want to understand what the hell you're buying. I'm just saying. All right. See you tomorrow.